This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
If your doctor tells you your physical has turned up an arrhythmia, a rhythm disorder in your heart, that might cause it to skip a beat right then and there. But cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbiziero explains the biggest concern is, like a realtor says, location, location, location.
Arrhythmias are geographically specific. So it depends on where we are in the heart. In a normal heart, in a young, otherwise healthy patient, there are abnormal arrhythmias that can occur, most common of which is called supraventricular tachycardia. These are abnormal circuits based on the electrical anatomy. They are not life-threatening. They can be life-annoying, and they usually occur in the top or middle part of the heart.
Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. Take command. And we are live just after 11 a.m. on Thursday, March 13th, a.k.a. the fourth day of free agency. Legal tampering period over, Logan. Actual free agency began yesterday at 4 o'clock when teams could sign players. I think the Commanders' schedule sent their email announcing the Deebo Samuel trade. That thing went out at 4:00 on the dot. But we got plenty to talk about. Of what the Commanders have done. A lot of moves on the margins, but changes are made on the margins, Logan. And it's been a interesting free agency period, I think, not just for the Commanders, but generally speaking across the NFL. Like, this isn't a glory-filled free agent class, and thus there are only so many moves that any team can make.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think that's kind of as we were getting ready for this free agency period, something that was becoming more and more apparent the more we watch the class. And so I do think that it's interesting that, you know, some of the big trades show up because, again, the free agency is limited. You got to kind of make those phone calls and kind of figure out who's available and how to make your team better. And so, you know, I think that, again, this is kind of how we thought it would go. But I do think so far so good for the Washington Commanders in terms of identifying pieces that I think have upside, that are good football players, that are good guys, and that are going to fit the culture here for Washington.
Yeah, for sure. And so they've got obviously the draft coming up, and we can see if they can recoup some of the pieces in terms of some of these trades and all that. And I think that's another important thing to remember is, like, we're trying to evaluate a picture as it is being drawn. And, you know, what we might wind up doing is, like, you know, those artists that'll be in like a park or something and they start drawing and you're like, what is that? And then they finish and they turn the painting upside down and you're like, whoa, that's a masterpiece. And that kind of felt like what last year was like Adam Peters was painting upside down the entire time. And then all of a sudden everything pops into place. And they make the NFC Championship game. And so I am wary of saying, like, oh, they need to do this, they need to do that. That, like, we don't know the entirety of how all these pieces fit together. But what we can do is give folks an idea of kind of what these players have been that they're bringing in, how they might fit into what Dan Quinn and company want to do on both sides of the ball this year, and see if there's any themes that emerge. And that I do think that we've seen. And the first one to me, Logan, is they're trying to make sure that Jaden Daniels is going to be as good as he can possibly be, which, by the way, good strategy, because he's going to be the main engine that drives them in 2025 and beyond. And so they bring back his big brother in Bobby Wagner. They bring back his safety blanket in Zach Ertz. They get him a brand spanking new left tackle in a move that, by the way, upgrades three positions on the offensive line at once, left tackle, left guard, presuming that's where Coleman goes. And your swing interior guy now is all of a sudden Allegretti. And that's an upgrade over what they had last year. They also, there's a couple more things they did. Marcus Samuels. Yeah, Debo, they get him a new easy button. Marcus, they bring back, and that's on top of keeping guys like David Blau, et cetera, in the room. So they've kept the quarterback room completely intact. And if you told me going into the offseason, hey, they're going to do everything they can to make sure Jaden Daniels is successful in 2025, I'd be like, that's a good plan. A good job. Nice work, Adam.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. And you think, you know, you were talking about, kind of making assumptions about a picture that's being drawn. But I do think, like, if that's kind of the guiding tenet, at least on the offensive side of the football, I think it informs kind of, hey, you know, we want to get better at probably running back or find another playmaker there, or find another playmaking receiver. So those things that are still are on the docket, and obviously free agency's got a little bit more time here yet for them to kind of make some of these decisions. But looking forward to the draft as well, I think those are things that they're going to look at. But I ultimately, like, this is the thing that drives the ship, you know, is Jaden Daniels and his success and his maturation, because I think everyone wants to kind of anoint and crown him after year one. But I've said this before, like, one of the things about the NFL that's so incredibly difficult is you got to do it year on year. Like, Tom Brady's the greatest of all time because he did it for 20 years, right? Peyton Manning, the consistency, right? Any great football player derives that moniker because they're super consistent. And so I think making it easy for him to be consistent going from year one and year two has got to be at the forefront of thought here. So yeah, bringing a guy like Marcus back, I think, is a really underrated signing. But you know, for like the emotional support animal, the mentorship, all those types of things, that's extremely important. And then also, like, Marcus is a good player in his own right. Like, he won some games this year for him when Jaden was hurt or Jaden wasn't playing well. So I think that's all kind of great understanding. And again, we've talked about the Laremy Tunsil thing quite a bit, but I think that's the move right here. That's the thing that, like, in terms of making this offense significantly better, feels like it was the thing that had to be done, and it didn't seem like there was a way to get it done. And all of a sudden, you know, Adam Peters, you know, makes magic, pulls a rabbit out of his hat, and it's Laremy Tunsil, who's 6'5" and, you know, 320, but like, it's a special move for this organization because of what it does for that offensive line. And again, when you go back and watch Jaden Daniels' film from last year, like, when he's got a clean pocket, he's one of the best quarterbacks in football, right? And I think you look at, you know, again, you know, Mahomes and his regression in the Super Bowl when there's a lot of pressure, Stroud when there's a lot of pressure, like, it is a thing. So if you can get shore up that group, just improve them, a group that played well last year, make them play a little bit better through talent acquisition, I think that's to me one of the driving things in terms of this Jaden Daniels improvement narrative.
For sure. Let's double click on a couple of things at Tunsil that we didn't get to the other day. Actually, a couple of key questions that I've talked about a little bit on the radio, but I haven't had a chance to talk about with you yet. One is kind of this emerging narrative out of Houston about his leadership. The other is the big penalty problem that he has. Let's start with the penalties first and circle back to the leadership thing. When you've watched him, is there anything that really jumps out about, I mean, the false starts last year were heinously bad in terms of the number, but like why they happen, any consistency, and then any other penalty issues that he's had that you are either confident that they can clean up here or worried that this might be just a part of his play that you have to deal with?
I think the false start thing is kind of who he is. Like, when I played with him in 2019, he had just been traded from Miami. That's what he does. He really tries to anticipate the snap count. He's one of the best. Again, I can't give him enough praise because he's one of the best players I've ever played with, right? He's kind of in that same pantheon as like Trent Williams, Julio Jones. Like, he is a special football player. The way he moves, the way he prepares, like, it's all what you want. But I think the false start thing is that's part of who he is. That's part of what makes him good, right? Is like the same thing that makes Lane Johnson good, his ability to anticipate that silent count. He also does it. And I'm hoping that once you get him with a coach like Bobby Johnson, get him with a staff like the one here and just say, hey, we're going to really drive this home and make this a point of emphasis for the entire offense so that everyone's on the same page, and maybe that mitigates the penalties by 10 or 15%. And I can live with that, right? He's that kind of player. He's that good. Yeah. So, and you know, it's funny, from a other penalty standpoint, from like a personal foul, from like a holding, from like any of that, I actually think he plays a pretty clean brand of football in those other areas. It's really the false starts that drive you home. But when I played with him in 19, I think it was 8 or something that year. And obviously that's like 20 or something this year.
It was 17, so there is
there's like a level of variance to it. And I think it can be cleaned up through coaching emphasis. And I want to say this, and again, like, the coaches in Houston, I'm sure, are doing a great job, but there was something when you watch the film fundamentally wrong with how they were coaching their protection plan, their protection philosophy. And you can tell, like, it just wasn't a level of detail. And I'm assuming that lack of detail also applied to some of the stuff they were doing with cadence. And this staff here has shown that they are hyper detailed in those areas. And so I'm hoping that that'll clean them up. He'll always have a couple. So fans, you know, when it's week five and he dumps off sides, like, be ready to be mad. I understand it, but that's kind of what he does. But you're getting all of these other really high quality, like, for example, Trent, the way he plays, he gets a lot of holding calls, right? Like, that's just how he plays. Laramie's thing is that he gets a lot of false starts. Like, there's a give and take here. Everyone's going to kind of have these penalty moments. That's his thing. But I do think they'll be able to mitigate some of that just by detailing, again, rules, assignments, communication, and snap count.
Yeah, I think when you're getting your butt kicked frequently, you want to jump early. Like, there was one, I think he had five in the Minnesota game alone. And like, that game, they were getting absolutely destroyed. And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to try to get an early start and make sure that I'm not giving up a sack. Well, you get too early of a start, you got that. The other thing I would ask you about the false start specific to Washington is when they were going hurry up, like, can that itself, because like, they're going fast anyway. Like, is that a thing that could potentially help, or is that kind of a neutral factor in terms of where he is?
Well, I don't remember, but I don't think the offensive line here had any false starts this year, or if they did, they had very few.
They definitely had some, but there definitely was not a frequent occurrence.
So obviously, like, I think that either the hurry up allows them to go on a simpler cadence, right, which is a big deal, or they have like more reps with the silent count, which is going to make them more effective. So I definitely think it's something that, again, it's just time on task and reps. And so if you're repping the silent count as much as this team reps the silent count, because again, they go no huddle so much, then I do think they're going to get better at it. And I do think that'll help Laramie kind of find the rhythm, find the timing. I think back to Bill Callahan when I was here with him in Washington, he used to get the quarterbacks out and they used to work silent count. And it was just like, they get the video team out there, they'd record the snap, they'd be like, hey, you're early, let's do it again. Hey, you're late, let's do it again. And they just got 1,000 reps at it. And like with anything, you get what you put into it. And so this team, just through the nature of their offense, puts a lot of time into that silent count. And so it makes them more efficient.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
For whatever it's worth, the website NFLPenalties.com, which is a real website, which I'm hoping is correct because I've never heard of it before. But if you're going to go to find out penalties, NFLPenalties.com seems like the site, Logan. Washington was kind of middle of the pack. They were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 12th, best in the league in false starts. They had 21 in their 20 games. You know, this is all games. Obviously they played more, than basically everybody else. They were, for whatever it's worth, the, beneficiary of the third most false starts in the league. They drew other teams offsides, more often than every team, but Pittsburgh and Minnesota.
But is that including offensive line or is that everybody?
I think that's like when their defense drew more.
No, I'm saying like the false starts. Are they characterizing those as just, hey, like these are only offensive line penalties or these are the entire offensive penalties?
This is average. This is just false starts in general. Okay. So I guess, there's a position tab here, so we can really get into this potentially if you want to. But that's by position for the whole league. I can't. I've never.
We just found the website.
Before.
We just found the website,
and we're live. So you know, this is all just going to happen, and there is no editing it out. It just stays in because we're live right now. So it is what it is. The point is. Hopefully it's better. It's better. On the leadership front with Tunsil, this does not concern, I don't want to say it doesn't concern me at all, but it concerns me like 1%.
I'm not familiar with the criticism. Can you just like, that he's not a good leader or like?
Yeah. So basically it's like he's, the line seems to be from multiple people. We've had, you know, and I've had multiple folks that I know down in Houston on the radio show. I know the Junkies had Seth Payne on, and he said something similar from 610 Sports in Houston. And basically it's like, Tunsil's not a bad guy, but he's not a leader. And so last year when that room was getting sideways and toxic, like you'd hope that a guy that's that good could pull him out of it. I don't care about that here. Like he might be the sixth best leader or the sixth best mentality guy in the Commanders offensive line room. Like Coleman's got a nasty streak. He's probably fifth, but then you got Allegretti and Wiley who have rings, Cosme, who's very much emerged as a leader and has a big old nasty streak, and Tyler Biadasz, who's a phenomenal leader and has a nasty streak. So like everything from like, hey, how are you in the meeting rooms leading to, hey, a quarterback just got hit on the sideline. Are you going to go shove somebody? I don't need Laremy Tunsil to do that. I need him to be an awesome left tackle. He's really good at that. And because of the infrastructure here, to me, this is the right kind of risk to take on that. Like he's not a leader. Okay, as long as he's not a bad guy, I don't care. And you can obviously speak to this from personal experience of what it's like to be with him, although he was a younger player then. But like this doesn't concern me basically at all, but it has come up, so I think it's worth addressing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a big deal. Like my locker was right next to his when I was in Houston with him, and he's a great guy. You know, he was always on time to practice. He's always locked in for walkthroughs. He's not a big talker, but he'll cut up. He's a good teammate. You know, good dude, man. Really enjoyed my time with him. It was only 9 weeks, but it was great spending that time with him because he's awesome. He's a pro's pro when it comes to doing the work that's required. He's locked in. So yeah, he's not very loud. He's actually a very quiet guy, I would say, on the whole, but that's fine. Tyler Biadasz is going to be the leader of this group. Like he sets the tone, right? He's grown up over the last year watching him kind of communicate with those guys. And I think those are things that I would point to. It's like, he doesn't have to do that, right? And this is Jaden Daniels' team. And like, if you're worried about people spiraling and things getting bad, like there's other people in that room you would turn to. And it's funny, like, I don't really consider, like, relatively speaking, Trent to be a great leader. You know, he's a personality that people gravitate towards, but he's not like this great, like, I'm going to mentor young kids. Like he's going to do what he's going to do. And that's not a criticism of Trent. I'm just saying like, there are really, really good players that I've played with that they're good teammates. They're good dudes, but that's who they are. You know, that's what they are. And like, there's a lot of guys in NFL locker rooms that are like that. So I think it seems like people are kind of making a mountain out of a molehill a little bit. I understand when you're paying a guy a lot of money, he's your franchise left tackle, you want him to have some leadership qualities, but I've played with a lot of dudes who are really, really, really good at football that aren't great mentors, aren't great leaders in the traditional sense. And I think the one thing you're getting here from him is like, you know, I'm going to bring Ryan Kerrigan up because I played with him. It wasn't like he was a great leader either, but he like worked really hard, shut his mouth and did what he was supposed to do. And I think Laremy kind of falls in that bucket a little bit. So there's different leadership styles. There's different people. You need to get people to get in line and follow the leader. And I do feel like he's kind of a guy that's not going to make waves, good or bad, but you have guys right in the locker room, like you just said, that kind of fit that bill. So
having covered Ryan, I think Ryan's a great example. And I think I'm glad that you brought him up because he's beloved. And like, I think now people are like, oh, he must've been a leader. Like he's a coach now, but like Ryan wasn't. Ryan just did his work. And like, you could always look at Ryan and be like, that guy's doing his work and he lead by example. Right. But I think at times in some of the teams that Ryan was on where they weren't very good. And like maybe a guy like DJ Swearinger, whose voice shouldn't have been as loud, was loud. Mm. It would have been great if there had been someone else to step up. Cause I think the team at times looked at Ryan as the organization, I should say, looked at Ryan as leader. And it's like, no, don't ask him to be the vocal leader out front of the team. Cause it's not who he is. Just be really happy that he's going to get you double digit sacks every single season, and he did that. And Laremy Tunsil's the same kind of guy. And is it great when your best players are your leaders? Yeah, it's easy. It's easy to follow that along when it's Bobby Wagner or Jaden Daniels or whoever. But there are definitely guys. I mean, Jeremy Reeves is a special teamer. He's a huge leader on this team. Like, it doesn't have to be the highest paid guy. And this is something I think Dan Quinn is great at, is he understands what people's strengths are, what their weaknesses are, and how to use them on and off the field. And I think that's part of what made the brotherhood so brotherhoody last year, and is empowering the right people. And if he can just come in and be a part of that atmosphere, like, it'll rub off on him in a good way. And I think that they can get the best version of Laremy Tunsil. And the draft picks that they give up, our people aren't going to be thinking about him a whole lot if he's dominant at left tackle.
Yeah, and I think he can be. And I think he will be. And I think he's the type of guy that really is a good culture adapter, right? And I think, like, what I mean by that is, like, if the culture is bad, he's going to do his thing. But if the culture is good, that he'll hang out, man. He'll play. He'll, like, goof off. He'll do cards. You know, he'll cut up if the locker room's good. And I think, like, one of the things about this locker room, one thing about Dan, is he's excellent at that. And when you get a guy who's motivated and invested, like a guy who's already a very good professional, like, you're going to get more out of him. And I think that's a great point. Is, you know, is he's never going to be, you know, General Patton out there leading the troops down the field, you know, but he's going to do his job at an extremely high level. And there's other people in the room that can handle that for you. And I do think also the culture, like, will bring him in a way, which will be really nice. So I think this is the best signing, you know, maybe of the offseason for any team. Like, I'm not saying that hyperbolically, like, this is huge for this organization, and I can't wait to get him here. And I think it just does so much for those, that group of five up front, group of six, seven, if you count the swing guys in there too. So I can't wait to see what Dan Quinn and what this culture does for him and how he elevates, you know, Jaden Daniels.
I'm Julia Brufke Wenger, founder of Phoenix Tax Consultants, home of the Tax Tacklers. It's tax season, and I genuinely understand the complications and frustrations that go into preparing to file. I believe that taxes should not be a do-it-yourself activity. You should leave it to the professionals. My team of next-level tax experts can help you find a new way to do your taxes and a strategy to get top results. Schedule your virtual or in-person appointment today at taxtacklers.com.
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.